extraction beads for sample reduction by Lou and Greenleaf from Mayo Clinic. The paper will be given by John Louie. Limited accretion beams is a kind of special beams that theoretically it will stay in focus forever. That means it will keep the same beam pattern until infinite distance. Previously, we have to study the limited accretion beams. Those beams usually are actually symmetric. And today, I want to introduce some kinds of asymmetrical limited accretion beams. That can be used, tell how to use these asymmetrical limited accretion beams to achieve silo reduction. Limited accretion beams was first discovered by Durning in 1987. And these beams are originally termed non-diffracting beams or diffraction-free beams. Recently, we have developed X-rays. X-rays is different from the Bessel beams or Durning's beams because it contains multiple frequencies and it's not dispersive in isotropic homogeneous medium. However, limited diffraction beams was called non-diffracting beams and diffraction-free beams before. This is very controversial, and we term these beams as limited diffraction beams, give it a new term. On the ground, practical beams will diffract eventually. Limited diffraction beams have the following properties. Theoretically, we can say it's diffraction free. In any practical system or in practice, limited diffraction beams do have large depths of field, which we can make use of. On the right hand side is an example of limited diffraction beams, which is a Bessel beam we measured in a water tank. This bar is the transducer, and the limited diffraction beams started almost right from the surface of transducer up to 216 millimeters here. That's usually covered a range of interest in medical imaging. And you can see the beam width, 60 dB beam width, is about a couple of millimeters. And the size of the transducer here is 50 millimeters, and the frequency is low, it's 2.5 megahertz. Because the limited diffraction beams have a large depth of field, it might have the following possible applications, such as medical imaging, tissue characterization, and the non-destructive evaluation of materials and other physical related areas such as electromagnetic radar imaging and optics. However, limited diffraction beams have a problem. It has a very high side load. Side loads have many deleterious effects, such as lower contrast in medical imaging, reduced detectability of small cysts, such as small objects such as cysts, and also increased sampling volume in tissue characterization. Silos are not unique with limited diffraction beams. It's also associated with ring transducers, axicon transducers. For a lot of effort, efforts has been made to reduce the silos. Such as in 1975, Burkhardt, etc., has published a paper to reduce the silos of ring transducers. They use a ring transducer weighted uniformly and to transmit and receive, which contain both silos and the main lobe contribution. And then they place the ring in such a way, EJ omega T, to transmit and then receive with E minus J omega T. And when this transmit and receive multiplied, the EIJ omega T weighting is gone. And what's that? That's the many silo contribution. They subtract the two IFA lines and thus subtract the silo contribution significantly. Another way is used in Axicon. They subdivided the Axicon into a segment and they use phasing, use this idea to transmit an Axicon beams that contain both main lobe and the side lobe. That's first the transmit and receive, and then use additional two transmit and receive and sum the results to get a side lobe contribution, and then subtract this side lobe contribution from the original IFA lines. That uses three transmitted to achieve side lobe reduction. But in their system, they report it's not successful in tissue type of objects because they use Axicon to transmit and use an annular array to receive and also use envelope subtraction. We have developed a method in 1993, which is called the summation subtraction method to reduce the silos, in which we also use three transmissions. Basic idea is similar to those reported previously. The summation subtraction method decreases the imaging frame rate. It needs three transmits, so the image frame rate is reduced by three times. And a reduced dynamic range of echo signals, because we subtract two large signals and only interest in the small difference, so that's reduced the dynamic ranges, and thus increased the noise. So in this paper, in this study, our objective is to reduce the silos in pulse echo imaging without compromising the imaging frame rate, and also not reducing dynamic range of the signal. How to do this? We will do it by developing new limited diffraction beams. We use the following approach. We construct asymmetrical limited diffraction beams by taking derivatives along one direction, say in y direction, which we say it's a vertical direction, and on the zeros order, actually symmetric limited diffraction beam. X-ray. We treat the Bessel beam as a special case of X-ray, because if the X-ray contains only single frequency, it's a Bessel beam. And also we perform the pulse echo image with the above asymmetrical limited diffraction beams by transmitting asymmetrical limited diffraction beam, and then we see with a rotated response, which is rotated 90 degrees relative to the transmitted beams. In this way, we try to minimize the side of contributions in a pulse echo system. Here's the theoretical results. We obtain derivatives, which first is a force derivative, and then we also take tenth derivatives of the zeros of the x-ray, and then compare these results, which is a post-echo results, with the zeros of the x-rays, and focus the beams at that focus, focus the rectangular beams, which is the linear array beam pattern at the focus, and also the focus the beam of a circular transducer or annular array transducer at their focuses. Here's the beams we get after the derivatives along the y-axis. We get the fourth derivative, tenth derivative, and this is the original x-ray. And here is the linear array beam pattern at the focus. We rotate this beam pattern like 360 degrees and get it annular symmetric to compare. And this is the beam pattern at the focus of an annular array transducer. And the right hand side, this direction is corresponding to the transverse direction, and this direction is corresponding to the beam axis, which is towards the audience. And the three panels corresponding to these three panels. So we can see in this direction, there's very low side lobes. And in the other direction, which is this direction, corresponding to this direction, and this again is the beam axis. And we can see we have the higher side lobes. For conventional symmetric x-ray, the side lobe is the same in different angle. It's symmetric. Here is the pulse echo response by transmitting fourth derivative x-ray and then rotate the response by 90 degrees, and to receive we get a pulse echo response which looks like this, and the tenth derivative x-ray we get this kind of pattern. And as compared to conventional x-ray symmetric x-ray, it has very high side lobes. Here the scale you can see is 0 dB and minus 70 dB down here. For comparison, we put the linear array response, which also is rotated 360 degrees. We can see side lobe for linear array, and the annular array we can see lower side lobes. From this we can roughly say a fourth derivative X-ray have the similar side lobes in pulse echo response, similar to those of linear array, and a tenth derivative similar to those of annular array. On the right hand side, you can see the scale is 0 dB to minus 140 dB. The first line is the conventional X-ray, symmetric X-ray, and this line, this curve, corresponding to fourth derivative x-ray. And this curve until here is almost 120 dB down from the peak is the tenth derivative x-ray. And here the response is a sync function, which corresponding to a linear array beam pattern at the focus of this array. And this pattern is what we call the Jink pattern, which is also known as Airy pattern in optics, which is produced by annular array. We can see these curves are produced by picking the highest side lobes at each lateral point, and so it shows the highest side lobe possible in a beam. And these four panels corresponding to different angles. This is at 0 degree and a 15, 30, and a 45 degree. It means 0 degree and a 15, 30, and a 45 degree. After that, it's, the pattern repeats itself. The other thing is that here we can see it's 50 millimeters in the from this end to this end. The 66 dB beam width is about couple millimeters. So this pattern with a couple millimeter beam width at the minus 6 dB level can propagate to infinite distance in theory. And for this annular array pattern, because it's focused strongly, it can only have a stay for a short depth of field. In order to verify our theoretical results, we do the Fourier simulations. We use the theoretical beams evaluated at a distance z equal to zero to weighted transducer, and then use the Rayleigh sum of field diffraction formula to do double integration to calculate the beam pattern in the space, and use the Fourier conditions, like we use a radius of transducer, assume the radius transducer 25 millimeters, center frequency 2.5 megahertz, transfer function, we assume it's a Bregman window function, so we get 58% of central frequency, the bandwidth. So here is the result of the simulation. The solid line is the simulation result, and the dashed line is the theoretical result we copied from the previous slides. And here, the scale again is 0 dB to 140, minus 140 dB down from the peak. And this column corresponding to distance at z equal to 100 millimeters away from the surface of transducer. And this column corresponding to the beam pattern at the distance 216 millimeters away from the surface of transducer, which is the depth of field of these kinds of beam we design. And you can see at z equal to 100 millimeter, the theory and the simulation is almost overlap. They're just these four different rows just represent a different angle. You can see at the boundary of depth of field, you will see the increase of size. And this is a 10th order derivative x-ray, and the pulse echo response. You can see the side of down here is about 120 dB down from the peak. And you can see at this time with simulation, our modern computer cannot calculate so accurately down to that low value, which is 100 minus 120 dB down from the peak. And also, this column corresponding to z equal to 100 millimeter, and this column 216 millimeters. This is the peak of the X-ray. X-ray is you can think it's like a wave drop propagating in the space. It has a peak pressure. If we pick the peak pressure and plot it along the actual distance, we will see it's flat actually, and then going down to this minus 6 dB point, which we call its depth of field, and indicated by this line, and then going down, which the diffraction is become more prominent. We can see for this zeros of the X ray, fourth derivative, tenth derivative, they all have similar depths of field. Here is the simulation result of the beam, which corresponding to previous theoretical result, we can see at the 0 degree, the fourth derivative, tenth derivative, and the zeros of the X-ray, they have this beam pattern. And at the 90 degree, we have seen this beam pattern. With the derivative operation, the angle, x second angle of the x-ray is actually not changed from the zeros of the x-ray here. We summary from the above results, we can see asymmetrical limited diffraction beams when applied in a pulse echo imaging system, it has the following advantages. Such as it reduced the silo dramatically, and also the transmit and the receive pattern can possibly be separated because we see that asymmetrical things are essentially confined to the opposite quarters. So in this way, we can eliminate the transmit-receive switches. And also, we don't need to have compromise in the imaging frame rate and dynamic range of the signal. However, they also have disadvantages, like such as transducer are much more compact because it needs more elements. And the first assignment we have seen is increased a little bit, which can be treated as an effective increase in the main load. And finally, we conclude that we have developed asymmetrical limited diffraction beams, and these beams can be applied to pulse echo imaging system to reduce the silos of these systems. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I have a comment I just want to make. I know about your work for a number of years, and we've certainly done similar kinds of things in the past. I really object to the use of limited diffraction beams. A beam is never limited in diffraction. A beam always diffracts. That's Huygens' principle. And so I would, the Kirchhoff-Fresnel integral and theory applies. People spent 200 years developing it. I think we should stick to the basic physics of it. If you want to call these beams phase anodized or some other limit dispersion or whatever you want to use, that'd be fine. But I think to put limited diffraction on the beam, I think, is inappropriate use of the terminology. Thank you.
Well, are there any comments? Okay.
I was asked to remind you to. In order to track your CME credits, those of you who are doing this,
velocity of the point scatter and the bend.